Good morning and welcome to our Lighthouse Morning Podcast. We're excited that you're with us today. I have a question for you that's part of where we are in Proverbs chapter 13, because Proverbs chapter 13 is all about authority in our lives. And what does authority look like? But how do you respond to authority in your life? Well, some people respond very well. They submit to authority, recognizing the importance of it. Even when it's hard, it's still valuable. But others undermine authority and create problems, right? I know that when I was a kid, I heard, don't backtalk your mother, right? Or don't talk back to your mother, however you want to look at it. But or the other one was maybe a little more direct response to authority. It says, don't sass me. I don't know if any of you heard that before. But to my children, I can remember in particular when my son was not being very polite to his mother. And I said to him, you're speaking to my wife. And the message got through loud and clear. But how do you respond to God's authority? Are you submissive or do you undermine? Well, let's pray and then we're going to look more at that. Father, I thank you so much for the way in which you rescue us from ourselves, that you give us new life. You give us a purpose that is far beyond our selfishness, but looks to the opportunity to worship you and to know more about you and to live in the vibrance of your word, living and active in our lives and our hearts, our minds, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, take your word and live in us this day. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, it says, His word says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Then he gives instructions. So there's the truth of the ultimate authority. Jesus claims that, makes that statement. He doesn't say, I'm a truth or a authority. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. And then he gives direction. Now that you know that, I want you to understand what I want you to do with that information. He says, go therefore and make disciples, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I love that because it's so clear that it's not names, it's not multiple gods. So for polytheistic people, that's not who the Bible is about. The Bible is about monotheism, singular, the name of God. And the name of God is Jesus or Jesus. But anyway, what are we supposed to do? What's that instruction? It says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So it's the instruction of the word of God. And then, of course, the promise is, and behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And that's God's promise for us. But I've had people question me for my authority, you know, and in fact, I've had people say, where do you get your authority from? I said, well, I point right back to that passage. And then said, well, you don't have authority. It hasn't been granted to you. And so I said, well, you're absolutely right. Is my authority is not my own, but I rely upon the one who has all authority. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, let me get there real quick here. In verses 19, it says this, for in him, speaking of Jesus, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself, so restoring to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Well, there's only one that made peace by the blood of his cross, and that man's name, that God-man's name is Jesus. So Proverbs chapter 13, as we're looking at that today, as we begin to look at Proverbs 13, is all about the value of having authority in our lives. But it points to the ultimate authority of Christ in our lives. And so that's the if you will, the contrast that Proverbs gives to us is it gives us a picture of submission to authority as in compared to those who would then undermine authority. So let's go there. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So the wise son is one who hears, he receives it, he submits to that authority, and I can tell you that it goes well for him. But of course, we recognize that the scoffer does not listen. The scoffer interrupts, and the scoffer says, no, I know better. But God's word says this in 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, all scripture is God-breathed. All of it, all 66 books, is God-breathed and profitable for teaching. Man, if I want to learn about God, I want to learn about who he is and submit to that authority, I've got to study. I've got to spend time in that, right? And for teaching, for reproving, I've got to be willing to let it correct me when I'm way out of line. When my thoughts are saying, well, I have to have an authority that's given to me by a man. No, that's way out of line. That's rebuking, but it also is correcting. That's just saying, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition to the truth. So I have to be careful about the way that I might correct someone, just as I would prefer to be corrected gently as well. And then, of course, in training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped and thoroughly equipped for every good work. And, of course, we know the greatest good work of submission to authority was the example of Christ in the garden. When he would go and he would pray and he would ask, is there a way that this cup could be removed, that this sacrifice that he was going to have to make could be removed? But then he would always say, but yet not my will, but your will be done. And so we know what the will of God was. There was no other way for man to be redeemed, for that peace to be restored, than other than Christ being crucified on that cross, being the one who was the object of our sin and took the judgment, the sentence for our sin, and then, of course, gave up his life. His life was not taken from him, but he gave up his life. He died then so that he could conquer the second greatest thing in our obstacle in our lives, and that's called death. Because we all face it. But yet, do I face it alone or in fear or wonder? No, I face it in confidence because I've submitted to Christ, and he provides eternal life for those who believe in him. So that's what God did. So let's go on to another one of my favorite verses in this passage, and it's verse 7. It says, one pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. And of course, it reminds me of that same biblical time when Caiaphas, he was the one who pronounced that one should die for the nation. And he was right, but he was wrong in the way that he was pointing to, oh, we'll save the nation this way. No, he was going to save mankind. But of course, what about Caiaphas? Well, Caiaphas professed himself as, and he was appointed by the Roman government to be the high priest for that year. Well, the thing about Caiaphas is, he was supposedly wealthy at that time period, right? But what about him? When I was in Israel the very first time in Jerusalem, one of the things that we did was we went up to Caiaphas's tomb, which is not marked, by the way, and it's just above the field of blood where the money was paid for Judas with the 30 pieces of silver, and it's still vacant today. But anyway, we go to Caiaphas' tomb, and guess what's in Caiaphas' tomb? A donkey or an ass. Isn't that a problem? God has such a sense of humor. But what wealth did he really have? You see, no, it was Christ, and he didn't pretend not to have wealth, but the wealth that Christ had, the absolute wealth, was the wealth of his life that he came to give. See, to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Christ was not about pursuing acquiring from this world. No, the thing that he wanted to acquire from this world was the hearts and the minds of men's lives. In And it's clearly identified this way. Here's our last verse for today, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning verse 9. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." That's God's heart, and it's never going to change. It's going to always be the same because he loves you. God bless you, and thank you for joining me today.